Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Time for another edition of Drive Time Sports. Here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. We're back at it, Tuesday edition of the show. Yesterday, we were kind of all over the place. Talked about a lot of different topics, all the way from boxing to horse racing to local baseball. Some of that's going to carry on over to the show today. We are going to catch up with Emory Spartan baseball coach Steve Gordon. He's going to join us over the telephone. We're going to talk about the epic two wins that the team earned in the opening round of the 2A state tournament this past Saturday, setting the stage for what should be a very interesting couple of days this week. Emory, one of four teams that still remain unbeaten in the tournament. However, here's the kicker. Three of those four teams are one seeds. And then you got the number four seed, Emory Spartans. Now, Emory can continue their magical run if they can knock off North Sevier on Thursday. North Sevier beat Emory twice this season, but Emory really battled tough with North Sevier in one of those games. I believe they lost it by two runs. So really, we're taking a dive into the unknown. Emory just three wins away from a state championship. This was a team that snuck in, winning a play-in game to get to the state tournament, and now they are just three wins away from a state championship. I absolutely love it. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. How about this? This story right here, it continues to pick up steam, and I talked about it on the show last week, and it blows my mind. It involves the Oakland Raiders relocating to Las Vegas. Now, Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman is pretty confident that the Raiders are going to move to Las Vegas unless a deal is totally mismanaged. Here's a quote from ESPN Radio Capital Games podcast, which took place earlier today. Quote, "The Raiders will come if Nevada handles this properly." That's what the mayor of Las Vegas said. Now, Raiders owner Mark Davis met with Southern Nevada Tourism Infrastructures Committee back on April 28th. He pledged $500 million to the construction of a $1.4 billion stadium. It would house about 65,000 seats. Mark Davis has assured us that Las Vegas is not getting played in a Raiders stadium deal. That's what Goodman said. I know we will have a team. Vegas seems very, very confident that the Raiders will be coming. I have mixed emotions on this, but I think what I take most from it is that Oakland doesn't care if they have the Raiders or not. Now, and I know people that live in the Bay Area, it's all about the Oakland A's. And it's really unfortunate because the Raiders are so close. Reggie McKenzie has done such a terrific job at rebuilding that team. The Raiders are going to be a hot commodity in the NFL. You're going to see the popularity of the Oakland Raiders pick up even more in the coming years because they have a legit quarterback. Okay, Derek Carr is the real deal. Amari Cooper is the real deal. Reggie McKenzie is a fantastic general manager. They have the marketability, and I think within 2 years, you're going to see the Raiders at the top of the AFC West. Shoot, they may even give it a great run this year. Now, according to multiple reports, the Sands and partnering business Majestic Realty have pledged an additional $150 million, leaving just $750 for taxpayers to see the stadium project through its early stage. And according to an article that was published by NBC Sports, owners in the NFL are actually starting to warm up to the idea of Las Vegas attracting the Raiders. Legalized gambling is the issue. That's why I said it would never happen, why we would never see one of the four major sports teams in Las Vegas. But honestly, the NFL, they've really started to integrate global branding. And with that, we've seen a lot of teams going overseas to play games. Look, in England, gambling is huge. It's humongous. I almost live for it there. And really, here's the big factor. Las Vegas is essentially looking to give about 66% of the cost of building a stadium. Oakland, zero. So it's not going to be hard for these owners to look at Las Vegas and say, okay, gambling may be a problem, but at the end of the day, we have something in Vegas. We have nothing in Oakland. The Las Vegas Raiders doesn't necessarily flow off of the tongue, but look, let's just be real. Their time at Oakland, it's numbered. And you can't forget about the deal that the NFL put on the table. If the Raiders stay put in Oakland, they would get $100 million from the NFL. Again, that's peanuts compared to what Las Vegas is offering right now. And Mark Davis is willing to put in $500 million. I think this is a topic that's going to pick up here relatively. I think Las Vegas and the Raiders is a topic that's only going to continue to gain steam. And I do not believe that the Raiders are using Las Vegas as leverage, because here's the difference. A lot of people could have questioned on if Stan Kroenke was using Los Angeles as leverage against the city of St. Louis. You could have made that argument because St. Louis wanted to keep the Rams. St. Louis was all in on keeping the Rams. You know, same thing could be said for Minnesota or Seattle. These are teams that used Los Angeles as leverage. The difference here is Stan Kroenke didn't want to keep the Rams in St. Louis. He wanted them in L.A. Mark Davis, I think he wants to keep the Raiders in Oakland, but Oakland doesn't want the Raiders. That's what makes this such a unique situation. And if they do want the Raiders, boy, they have a really funny way of showing it. Keep your eye on this story. I know we definitely will here on Drive Time Sports. Relocation talk is fascinating. And I think the game of musical chairs is continuing in the NFL. I hope that the Raiders stay put in Oakland, but I know that the percentage of that happening, very, very slim. I hope the Chargers stay put in San Diego. That percentage rises, I think, a little bit each day. There's a deadline for the Chargers. There's not a deadline for the Raiders. They still have options. We'll keep an eye on it. Let's take a look at the national sports schedule. Last night, we had two great games in the NBA. We'll talk about Steph Curry, who was not expected to play last night, by the way. Comes in off of the bench, dominates in overtime. We'll talk about that in just a bit. One game on tap tonight. Oklahoma City taking on San Antonio. Game 5 of the Western Conference semis with the series tied 2-2. Huge game. Monumental game tonight. How important is Game 5 when the series is tied 2-2? Game 5 becomes monumental because 82% of the time, the team that wins Game 5 advances. In NBA history, the winner of Game 5 is something crazy like 150-33. I mean, it's some bizarre statistic like that. So whoever wins tonight's game, I think, wins the series. You want to put San Antonio in a situation to where they can close out the game with one win? Or better yet, you want to put Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant in a situation where they only need one game to close out San Antonio? This is must-see TV tonight. Definitely take a look at this game. Tip-off is set for 6 p.m. As far as the other playoff games go, we'll talk a little bit about Miami and Toronto in just a bit, because that is an ugly, entertaining series, if that makes sense. Let's take a look at baseball and the schedule, what we have on tap today. Full slate of games. Once again, they'll get rolling at 5 p.m. Kansas City on the road taking on the New York Yankees. Medlin will go toe-to-toe with Tanaka on the mound in that one. Detroit at Washington. We get Oakland at Boston. Philadelphia at Atlanta. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. And the Marlins will welcome in the Milwaukee Brewers. That's the set of games at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock start times. Chicago at Texas. San Diego at the Cubbies. Baltimore will be on the road to take on Minnesota. The Astros play host to the Indians, and the Rockies will welcome in Arizona to Coors Field. 8 o'clock games tonight, St. Louis at the Angels. Tampa Bay on the road, they'll take on Seattle. The Dodgers welcome in the Mets. That's Jacob DeGrom on the mound tonight, the DeGrominator for the New York Mets. And then we get Toronto at San Francisco. Start time of that one sitting at 8:15. NHL playoffs, hopefully you're at least somewhat interested in this. There really has been several great matchups in round two. Tonight we get Pittsburgh and Washington. This is a game six preview. Right now the Penguins with an opportunity to close out the series as they lead the Capitals 3-2. We get a couple of game sevens later on in the week, and we'll talk about that when the time comes. That's a quick recap of everything that's happening in the national sports scene. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, Emory Spartan baseball coach Steve Gordon will join us on the show. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Emory Lady Sport and Softball Squad ended the season on a positive note yesterday as they defeated Paiute in league action by a final score of 17-4. The Lady Spartans got off to a quick start. They scored 10 runs in the opening inning, and they just continued to add runs throughout the five-inning set on their way to the eventual win. As a team, Emory totaled 15 hits compared to just 8 for Paiute. Emory gets the win despite finishing with 4 errors. All in all, for the season, Emory finishes 2-8 in league play, just behind the fourth and final spot awarded to the playoffs in the league. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more on the Lady Spartans throughout the week. We move over to baseball, where over the weekend, the USU Eastern Golden Eagles wrapped up the regular season as they lost 3 out of 4 games against Colorado Northwestern in Rangeley. After losing the first 3 games of the weekend, 8-2, 10-6, and 5-2, USU Eastern battled back to grab an 8-7 win to avoid the 4-game sweep. Though they lost 3 games, USU Eastern finishes at the bottom of the conference standings with 11 league wins, tied with CSI. By virtue of the tiebreaker, CSI will grab the 5 spot. USU Eastern will be the 6th seed going into the conference tournament, which will begin tomorrow in Henderson, Nevada. USU Eastern will go toe-to-toe with Salt Lake Community College. As far as the region tournament goes, it is a single elimination deal. In order for USU Eastern to continue their season, they will need to win each game, 3 games, in order to become conference champions. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll have more of the Golden Eagle baseball team throughout the week. We move over to track and field, where this past Friday, both Carbon and Emory traveled to Provo to participate in the BYU Invitational. Now, the way the BYU Invitational is set up, all teams 1A through 2A compete, while 3A, 4A, and 5A compete. Taking a look at how the Emory Lady Spartans fared at the BYU Invitational, Emory totaled just 12 points, finishing 22nd out of the 40-team field. The Emory boys squad fared just a tad bit better. They scored 21 points, but they finished 23. The Carbon boys team did not score any points in the boys meet, again competing 3A through 5A. But the Carbon Lady Dinos, they scored 6 points. Sarah O'Weiler delivered the highest individual performance from either Carbon or Emory. She finished 3rd place in the girls' long jump. Right now, both teams are getting set to participate in the state meet, which will bring an end to the 2016 season. More to come on the track and field squads for both Carbon and Emory. We move back over to baseball. Yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, Carbon Dino baseball coach Jeff Cincinnatus was a guest. He joined us to talk about the end of the regular season for his team, which ended in a loss against the Juab Wasps. Because of the loss, Carbon will be the 3 seed going into the state tournament, which puts them toe-to-toe with Park City. That game will take place this Saturday. The Dinos will be paired with the Park City Cedar and Juan Diego. The first 2 rounds of the tournament will take place at Juan Diego. Now, while the Dinos will travel on the road to wrap up the season, the community will have one more opportunity to see the team play live. That'll be tonight at the Helper American Legion Field as they play in their annual alumni game.
I mean, you're going to see some really good ex-Carbon High and American Legion baseball players, guys who, you know, won a state title in high school while they were here at Carbon. You know, we got Joe V is going to play. Brady Martinez may make it down to play and do a little pitching against us. You know, we're talking about a guy who won a state title here, went on to pitch in college and went on to pitch in the minor leagues and had a great baseball career. And then some guys who, you know, won, you know, a couple of Legion state titles in the past few years. You know, guys that can actually play the game and are really going to push our high school team and hopefully make us better.
Again, that's Coach Jeff Cincinnatus yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports. Start time for tonight's contest is scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. under the lights at the Helper American Legion Field. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
More Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Yesterday we talked Carbon High baseball. Do not forget tonight, their annual alumni game. It's going to start at 6 o'clock at the Helper American Legion Field. Make sure you get out, support the team. The final chance you'll have to see this team at home before they go to the state tournament. Speaking of state tournament baseball, Over the weekend, the Emory Spartans enter a 4 seed. They knock off a 1, and then they continue their stellar stretch and knock off Kanab to get into the quarterfinals. Now we only have 4 teams remaining in the 2A state tournament without a loss. It's a true double elimination format. One of those 2 teams happens to be Emory High School. Joining us now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Steve Gordon. Coach, great to get you on today. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Definitely, Coach. It's crunch time, and we had you on last week, and you're a 4 seed going into the state tournament, and you told me that you actually liked your chances. You thought that this team was playing the best baseball that they had been playing all year long. So you go in a 4 seed, you knock off the 1 on their home field, and then you get another victory. So now, out of the final 4 teams yet to suffer a loss, there's 3 ones and a 4 seed left. It's been quite the weekend.
Yeah, we had a great weekend of baseball, and we weren't expected to go win 2 games, and but we went over and competed, and our guys gave it their all, and we made plays, and we hit the ball when we needed to, and things just worked out. It was a great day of baseball for us.
You talk about things working out. I mean, it doesn't matter, Coach, if you have all the talent in the world. You need luck, and it looks like you guys had a little bit of that. But you managed to take advantage of the openings that South Sevier and Kanab gave you. I mean, was that a problem throughout the year? Teams were giving you guys, openings and chances, and you just failed to convert?
Yeah, that's been our problem all year. We've lost, a lot of games, but we just have missed that big hit when it was crunch time, bases loaded, runners on second, third, just all year long. We've just haven't had anybody step up and get that big hit. And this weekend, we had, a couple guys get huge hits for us, and that was the difference in the game. So baseball's a funny game. It takes one hit in one situation, and the whole game changes. So, and we, our guys stepped up. I'm proud as can be of the guys to go get 2 wins.
You guys knock off the 1 seed on their home field. I'm sure the guys were absolutely elated. How difficult is it to kind of get them grounded, saying, hey, we got another game that we got to go play right now?
Yeah, it's tough, and we had a little time, and they actually moved us from the South Sevier site to Richfield just with weather situations. But, it's tough to regroup because we won the game we probably shouldn't have, and now the pressure's on, at least the coach's standpoint. Now I'm in panic mode because it's like, oh, no, now we've got to win the second one because that's the one we should. And but our guys, they handled it well. And, when we started the second game, we jumped out on them 5-0. And I think our whole mentality has changed over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and we've turned into a pretty good baseball team.
Last week, Coach, we talked about the seniors. You have a few seniors on this team. They know what it takes to win. I did feel bad for the seniors at certain points in time this season because they've been so accustomed to winning, and you guys had some real downfalls. For the seniors, this is fantastic.
Yeah, they've all chipped in and done a great job. Bryce has been solid for us on the mound all year, and Stilson was one of them that got a big hit in the 7th inning against Kanab, give us a couple more runs, and Tristan had a 3-for-4 day at the plate, and Wyatt had some great catches all day long, both games. So all 4 of the seniors really did a great job, and then we had several other kids that contributed. So yeah, it's turned out to be a good year for us. We still have big road ahead to win some games from here on out because they're really good teams, but hey, we're in the winner's bracket and really couldn't be happier. Just look forward to go playing on Thursday.
You knock off South Sevier 5-4. You beat Kanab 9-6. Out of the 2 games, which game did you felt your team played a more complete contest in?
Oh, it was South Sevier, definitely. It was a tight game. All through the game, it was a close game, and they are the better team and better pitching, and our guys were just, I think we were just focused, and we made plays, and they did have an error that, we had a ground ball. We were down 3-1, and they had a ground ball in the 5th inning, and they overthrew it to first, and we got our guy to third, and then a pass ball, we scored him, and then, they got a little bit rattled and walked a couple guys and a base hit, And then Easton hit a double in the gap to clear the bases, and that put us up 5-3. So, we took advantage of their mistake, and it seems like it usually happens to us, but this time we got a little break and we got a little luck, and we took advantage of it. And that, I mean, it just worked out perfect for us.
Coach Steve Gordon of the Emory Sport and Baseball Team, our guest right now. Coach, I know you take it game by game. We talked about this last week. But now that you have some time to actually reflect and absorb everything that happened in the opening weekend, I mean, this is a team that barely got into the state tournament, and now as it stands, you're three wins away, three more wins away from a state championship. I mean, is it feasible? Is it something that the kids believe that they can now accomplish?
Oh, yeah. They're talking about it, and they're the ones saying, hey, we got three more games, focus up three more games. And that's kind of the approach we took from our play-in game. I mean, even though, like you mentioned, we have a play-in game, and we won 6-5 in that game, or we're not even in the state tournament. So we've kind of been just approaching it one game at a time. And, to be honest, I'm doing all my scouting reports and everything I can possibly do, to beat North Sevier. And then after that game, then we worry about the next. But our guys they're excited and hungry, and I think we're really peaking at the right time. We haven't been a very good baseball team, but we really are turning into a good baseball team, and it's good timing. It's hard to get a team to peak at the right time, but honestly, out of all the teams I've ever coached, I think this crew is really peaking, and it's great timing.
Well, we look at the four teams that remain. Again, as I mentioned, you got 3-1 seeds, Enterprise, Summit Academy, and North Sevier, and then you got a 4-seed, Emory. You go up against North Sevier. This is a team that you're familiar with. You share a region with them. Coach, you guys gave them all they could handle. One contest, they 10-run you another. You go back, you reflect on those two games. What stands out to you?
Well, I think, the thing, we had them 1-0 going into the sixth inning of their place, and they've beat a lot of people, and they've beat them pretty bad. And it's kind of the same scenario with South Sevier. I don't think they've been in a lot of tight games. And, we have. We've been in a lot of tight games, or we've been on the losing end, and we still play through it. I think if we can go get a couple-run lead on them, and I think they start pressing a little bit. And, I think we did the same thing to South Sevier once we got that lead. They kind of didn't know how to react, and they kind of fell apart a little bit. And so, we're going to try to jump on them early and then play baseball, and hopefully we can come out with a win.
Things definitely change at this stage in the tournament, because now it's all kind of grouped together 2 days. 2 days will decide a winner. How does the pitching change for you? I know you went through three pitchers, I believe, this past weekend. How does that change for you at all? Or do you just go out and you use everything that you can possibly, you use every pitcher if you have to win one game?
Yeah, you have to stay in that winner's bracket. And so we're going to do everything we can to win that first game. We've got a lot of guys that can throw, and we had, besides our three that threw on Saturday, we had five different kids throwing a bullpen yesterday to get ready, and they're called on, they're ready to go. So you definitely have to go out and try to win Thursday, and then anything happens.
Tail Gardner, he gets a victory for you guys in the win against South Sevier. Coach, this is a kid that I'm really impressed with. I watched Tail pitch a lot last summer when he was playing in the Perfect Game League with the Carbon County squad. To see where he's at today compared to where he was at this summer, he's shown tremendous growth.
Yeah, he has, even the last couple weeks, he kind of went through a little bit of funk in mid-year with a little bit of mechanic issues, and, we tried to fine-tune that and, get him a little smoother and step a little lighter, and he's been solid the last two outings. I mean, he's really throwing it really well right now, and he's confident, so that's the main thing. But and the good thing, he's only a junior, so that helps for next year. But I haven't decided completely who we're gonna throw, but I imagine I think I'm gonna probably throw Tail that first game, and then we'll go from there.
You mentioned staying in the winner's bracket. You've been all through this tournament. At what point? It's never good to lose, or you never want to lose, but at what point in a state tournament like this, that's true double elimination format, is it easier to bounce back once you suffer a loss?
You know, it might be this first round, you know, on Thursday. You know, you get into Friday, and if you know, happen to lose that semifinal, then kids are devastated, and that's a really tough one, probably worse than the quarterfinal. But he, you know, even if we lost the game on Thursday, you know, on Friday we'd face a team that's already played two games down there, and so, you know, normally you would think you'd be facing a number three pitcher, and you know, I just like our chances to get deep into the tournament. We've kind of put ourselves in a great spot, and now we just need to take advantage of it. And, you know, that's what we told our guys yesterday, and, you know, I think they're up for it.
Well, Coach, it is always fun again to talk to you. Thank you again for the time. Best of luck as you guys go finish out the season. It's been a fun ride so far. It's definitely been fun to cover. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
That's Coach Steve Gordon of the Emory Sport and Baseball Team. Best of luck to Emory as they travel on the road. They're going to leave tomorrow, but then they'll actually start playing the games on Thursday. We'll keep you up to date right here at Castle Country Radio and, of course, on Drive Time Sports. We'll pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to flip over to the national sports scene here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
That's your two-time NBA MVP, Steph Curry, welcoming you back to Drive Time Sports. Hey, we learned a couple of things last night, right? Game 4, Golden State, Portland. I told you it was freaking hard to win at the Moda Center. A lot of people called me crazy. I got a couple of text messages from the show yesterday saying I was crazy to give Portland that much credit. It's hard to win at the Moda Center, and Golden State found that out. It took a Hercules-type performance from Steph Curry for Golden State to come out of Portland with a 3-1 lead. Otherwise, that series is tied, and it's a best 2 out of 3 set. Steph Curry was good last night, wasn't he? Oh my goodness. Hopefully you got to watch this on what this guy managed to do last night. He ripped the hearts out of the Portland Trailblazers. He ripped the heart out of the city of Portland. This series is done now in 5. We went from potentially seeing a 7-game series to Steph Curry obliterating the competition in overtime, and the Warriors will end this in Game 5. Steph Curry shoots 32 times last night. First off, how many players can miss that many games consecutively, come back, play 37 minutes in the playoffs, shoot 16 of 32 from the field, knock down 5 3-point shots, grab 9 rebounds, hand out 8 assists, and score 40 to lead his team to an overtime victory? There's not too many. There's not too many players in league history that could do something like that. But again, we're talking about Steph Curry, the same guy that's put together one of the most historical seasons that we've ever witnessed in the NBA. And that's not an overstatement. That's not becoming a prisoner in the moment. We've witnessed Steph Curry do things this year that nobody has ever done. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson. It's that historical of a season. So a guy misses, he hasn't played since Game 4 when he got hurt against the Rockets early on in that game. And he comes back and he leads his team to a monumental game. Again, I wasn't saying that Portland was going to win this series. I thought if Portland won last night, the Warriors would be pressed in a Game 7. Now it's over in 5. You don't give up a game like that on your home court with the amount of youth and inexperience on this Portland team. You don't give up a game like that and bounce right back in the postseason on the road at Oracle, no less. The series is over. Now let's go back and talk about Steph Curry here for a moment. I don't have a whole lot of time to listen to other sports talk radio shows, but every now and then somebody will drop me a text and tell me so-and-so had a take on this or check out this particular segment. Dan Le Batard had a very interesting segment today, and I don't have the exact quotes in front of me. But he basically said that Steph Curry is extremely cocky and he gets away with it because he's smaller and he's cute. Something along the lines of that. Dan Le Batard's 100% right. Did you watch that game last night? Did you see Steph Curry's reaction in overtime? Yelling at the crowd that he's back? Yeah, Steph Curry's cocky. But what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. I'm of the mindset that I have no problem with someone being cocky. A lot of people don't agree with that. You're going to tell me that Michael Jordan wasn't cocky? You're going to tell me that Muhammad Ali wasn't cocky? You're going to tell me that Babe Ruth calling his shot isn't being cocky? Yeah, the greats are cocky. Is Kobe Bryant cocky? Yes. It's okay to be cocky if you can back it up. And the fact is, the Golden State Warriors are the defending NBA champions. Steph Curry is the two-time defending NBA MVP. And the Golden State Warriors this year have won 73 games, and they are on their way to the Western Conference Championship once again. Steph Curry's earned the right to be a little cocky. In fact, that may give him the edge. It may give him the edge against teams like Portland, who has a hungry point guard in Damian Lillard, a guy that has been so much fun to watch this postseason. He's been fun to watch this entire year with LaMarcus Aldridge bolting for San Antonio. Damian Lillard has put that team on his shoulders. He's been fun. He's hungry. And Steph Curry goes out on the road against his team and drops 17 in overtime. Steph Curry's earned the right to be a little cocky. Certain athletes are wired differently. Look, I've watched a lot of basketball in my day, and I'm sure you have as well. So I want you to think about this. Think about a couple of players in any sport, doesn't necessarily have to be basketball, that had the ability in your mind, you believe they had the ability to be fantastic. Somebody that you thought was worthy of all the hype. Somebody that when you watched play the sport, you said, this guy could be one of the greats. And he never lived up. Never lived up to the potential. Never lived up to the hype. And for it, he put your team or his team in a very bad spot. That happens quite often in professional sports. It happens a lot. Certain guys are wired differently. And they have that chip on their shoulder, and that's why they're as good as they are. Dan Le Batard is right. It's not an insult at Steph Curry. It's not a knock on Steph Curry to say that he's cocky. He's cocky. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder. This Golden State Warrior team is cocky. Draymond Green is cocky. He's one of the best trash talkers in the NBA, which is why a Golden State-Oklahoma City series would be riveting. You think Damian Lillard and Draymond Green, you think that's getting testy? Put two guys together like Draymond Green and Russell Westbrook. That's entertaining basketball. Now, Steph Curry's cocky. He has a right to be. You could throw all these interesting stats out there. There's breakdowns of what Steph Curry has been able to accomplish this season. And I use it more for historical, I guess, significance rather than saying, okay, well, he's better than this guy. Like the fact that he's hit more three-pointers in 2 years than Larry Bird did his entire career. Well, the game has changed. Steph Curry shoots a lot of three-point shots. He shoots a lot more three-point shots than Larry Bird. And the game is played completely different. But it's one of those statistics that you look at and you say, wow. You know, are we taking for granted just how good this guy is? And believe it or not, there are still people out there who don't necessarily view Steph Curry as worthy of back-to-back MVPs, believe it or not. There are people out there. Now, I said this on the show yesterday, and I'll go back to it. He's not the best player in the NBA. As much as it pains me to say it, I would still take LeBron James over Steph Curry. LeBron's been doing it at a very high level for a little bit longer than Curry. And by the way, I know they're in the Eastern Conference, and I think the matchups have definitely worked in their favor. Cleveland hasn't lost yet this postseason. We're on a collision course for a rematch of last year's NBA Finals. So basically, I'm writing off everybody else in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, pretty much. Because Toronto and Miami, the way they are playing right now, they can't beat Cleveland. Not the way Cleveland's playing. I will say this. A lot of pundits around the country are hammering this series between Miami and Toronto. It's been entertaining. After four games, three have gone to overtime, and just 5 points separate Miami and Toronto. That's a hard-fought series. Is it playoff basketball at its best? No. But I think you're seeing some great defense. And Dwayne Wade has played very, very well. He was great last night if you missed this game. 30 points, 13 of 24 shooting, 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals. Leads the Heat to a win. That knots this up at 2 games apiece. He's carrying the Miami offense. And it's great to see because Dwayne Wade was a guy that you really wondered if his best days were behind him because he couldn't stay healthy. And the contract that he signed with Miami in the offseason, a lot of people said $20 million for 1 year. Yeah, if Dwayne Wade's healthy, he's well worth $20 million a year. And on the flip side, there have been times where Toronto looks very good. That backcourt, which I love, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, I love that backcourt. At times, they've been bad from the field in this series. DeRozan just keeps shooting, firing shots. This is a contract year for this guy. He's going to get his. If Toronto goes down, he's going to make sure he gets his. Max contract time for DeMar DeRozan this offseason. But it's tied 2-2. The Raptors last night refused to penetrate. They had to settle for jumpers late in the game, and it cost them. The Raptors and the Heat. What an interesting game this is. No Hassan Whiteside, no Jonas Valanciunas. Oh, and no Chris Bosh either. So you're seeing somewhat of a depleted Heat team and a Toronto squad that's missing one of their key performers as well. The NBA playoffs have been a bag of mixed nuts. We have seen some stellar play from Steph Curry. We've seen some stellar play from Dwayne Wade. LeBron James and the Cavs seem to be firing on all cylinders. And the Thunder and the Spurs have given us the best series to date so far this year. And we get Game 5 of that one tonight. We've got to pause for a quick commercial break. We have more coming up. Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Here's an NFL trade that kind of floated under the radar yesterday. Patriots traded John Bostic to the Detroit Lions. Both teams made the announcement yesterday. NFL.com reporting that the Patriots will receive a conditional seventh-round pick in 2017 for Bostic. The move comes about 8 months after the Patriots acquired Bostic from the Bears for a late-round pick. The Lions announced the move also yesterday afternoon. This is a move that you could pretty easily connect the dots. Bob Quinn, general manager of the Detroit Lions. You know, if you look at the general manager tree, I guess is what you could call it. See, he comes from New England. He was the director of pro scouting before going to Detroit in January. I bring up this trade because it's not necessarily a big deal. And a lot of you out there probably listening saying, who cares? But the NFL draft, which is about 2 weeks old now, believe it or not, can't believe how fast this NFL offseason is going by. The Lions, I think, drafted very well. I think they drafted very well. And we're going to go over the NFL, the offseason, and the draft. We'll go over that in depth on tomorrow's show. We're going to bring in Brian Mejia, our Drive Time Sports NFL insider, and he'll talk us through some of the things that have went down and give us his perspective. I think the Lions did quite well. Considering that this is a team that lost one of the best wide receivers that we've seen in quite some time in Calvin Johnson, the Lions really signed Marvin Jones to a big deal. And that's definitely a move I can get behind. I think Marvin Jones can be a stud wideout in this league. They used the 16th overall pick on Taylor Decker, who should be better than what Detroit had at right tackle last year. Then you get Graham Glasgow, who provided good depth in the interior. He's going to emerge as a starter. Sticking with their needs, Detroit used their second-round choice on A'shaun Robinson. Robinson was a great value pick. His drop was somewhat predictable. He interviewed poorly, according to some of the reports. And they also grab a backup quarterback in Jake Rudock, who you'll remember that name from Michigan. Point that's being made here, we are well past the Martin Mayhew or Matt Millen days. Both of those seem like just a distant folly if you're a Detroit Lion fan. We're going to talk more NFL football on the show tomorrow. Again, Brian Mejia will stop by the show. We'll talk everything. How did your team do in the NFL draft? Now we got the rookie camps off and rolling. I will say this before we move on from the NFL to close out the show. The one team that I think hands down won the draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they did fantastic. You want to talk about ramping up a defense. Here's a team that got, I think, the best player in the draft at pick number 5 in Jalen Ramsey. Then you get Miles Jack. A lot of people would argue that he's the best player, most athletic player in the draft. And then they grab Sheldon Day, defensive lineman from Notre Dame, and they get Tyrone Holmes in day 3. In fact, Jacksonville didn't select a single player who was graded below a B, according to some mocks, before the 7th round. They put together a solid, solid draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars, look out for this team. young, talented draft class. And if you're a Jaguar fan, you've got to be happy with the way things are looking right now for your team. Again, more NFL talk on the show tomorrow. And of course, we're going to continue to talk local sports. Tonight, NBA basketball, it's coming. San Antonio and Oklahoma City. Cannot wait for this matchup tonight. Again, if you can't watch this game, do yourself a favor and set your DVR. 6 p.m. start time. This has been such a squirrely series because you have San Antonio, they dominate game one, 124-92. Outside of that game, really, well, I guess you could throw in game four, but games two and three could have went either way. And even in game four, San Antonio came out and they looked good early on. Tony Parker was so efficient in that game. It's a game that I would expect San Antonio to win based off the efficiency of Tony Parker. I don't know what to think about this series. I'm starting to wonder if either team can win back-to-back games because that's how close-knit it has been so far. Greg Popovich did say that Tim Duncan will start despite reduced minutes in the series. I was on a show yesterday in Colorado and I was asked my thoughts on Tim Duncan and his numbers being reduced drastically. I don't think it's a big deal, and I'm not being disrespectful when I say this, but Tim Duncan is old. It's that simple. He's old. Played 12 minutes in game four. Plus-minus ratio was minus five. It's easy for a guy like Duncan to get lost in the shuffle when you have LaMarcus Aldridge, you have Boris Diaw, who I know is old as well, but look, Diaw has played that perfect stretch four for San Antonio since coming over from Charlotte. And then you have David West. Can't forget about David West. There's bigs. There's enough bigs on this team where I'm not surprised that Tim Duncan is being phased out. Tim Duncan is fundamentally sound. Tim Duncan is going to give you a couple of games from time to time where you look back and you say, okay, that's the Tim Duncan of old, because his game will translate from an old age. Like Kobe Bryant was old. Kobe was going to get his. Kobe was going to put up 20, 25 shots a game. We knew that. So you look at Kobe, he's going to score 17, 18 points a game. That's just going to happen because he's shooting the ball in such a high regard. Tim Duncan doesn't do that because Tim Duncan doesn't have to do that. Tim Duncan's not on a team where he's the center point or where they will rely on him to keep them in games. Duncan didn't attempt a single shot in game four. So I think you're slowly going to see San Antonio phase out Tim Duncan. This may be his last year. Huge game tonight. Who gets it done? Give me the home team. In this series, I know they both split home and away. I don't know that either team can win two games in a row, which means I'll take San Antonio in seven. Give me the home teams from here on out. I like the Spurs to get it done tonight. We'll talk more about this game tomorrow on the show, and again, some NFL football talk. Definitely have to thank Coach Steve Gordon for coming on. Best of luck to the Emory Spartans. Continue to do work. Definitely don't want to jinx these guys, but they're playing great baseball right now. And also, we got to start gearing up for the state tournament for softball and the 3A state tournament for the Carbon Dino baseball team as well. Also, before I sign off, do not forget tonight, alumni game at the Helper American Legion Field, your last opportunity to go check out the Carbon Dino baseball team. Start time for that is at 6 p.m. You're going to see a couple of well-known players return, ex-Dinos and ex-Helper Legion baseball players tonight. It's always a fun, competitive game. 6 p.m. start time, your final chance to check out the Dinos this year at home. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Be safe. I am out.